I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at waaf.com.
I believe that Neil Brennan is arriving here right now this morning.
And your belief is well-founded, my friend.
How are you?
I'm well. I don't have any headphones, but good thing I can hear you.
Yeah. No, I don't have any.
Go, let's raw dog this.
I don't have any either.
Well, look at us. Well. What have we here?
Neil, you may know from The Daily Show or from... did you just do...
Netflix is the thing that people know me from.
Is that what... Is Netflix
the
thing?
Three Mics is the name of the special.
Did you just do a Seinfeld...
Yeah.
Cars, Comedians...
Yes. Also on Netflix.
How was that experience?
It was, he is a mean man. No, it was excellent. He's Jerry's such a funny dude. And it was like, I told him on the show, I never really watched a sitcom.
What?
You heard me.
Communist.
I don't like sitcoms.
You don't?
No. I just don't watch them. I don't care. As I said to him, every time I turned on Seinfeld, they were worried about a jacket.
Yeah.
We gotta get the jacket. Uncle Leo's got the jacket. Whatever. So it's like, I'm good. They don't need me. I just don't. I like sketch comedy. I like short desk PC, like late night sketchy.
Yeah.
That's more my thing. I've seen that everything. But having said that, I know Jerry's act backward and forward. So that's all he really cares about. Is his stand up?
Is his stand up?
Yeah, I mean, not like he doesn't care about the sitcom, but like the stand up, like, you know, as long as if he probably had to pick one, like I meant to ask him if he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, would it be as a sitcom star or as a comedian? And I feel like it would be as a comedian.
I was watching that Robin Williams documentary.
Haven't even started it,
and it was so interesting seeing. There's a scene where he and Bobcat and, mm-hmm. and a whole bunch of guys are backstage talking about it before going on.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting to see him from the comedian perspective, Seinfeld, you know, and
what did Jerry say in that?
Well, first of all, he thought Robin Williams was at the very top of, I'm sure you feel the same way. But it was interesting to see those guys talking before going on and that Jerry still loves doing stand up. Cause I just didn't think of him that way.
Yeah, it's like he maybe 6 weeks ago he texted me and was like, he texted me.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Big
guys,
name drop right
regular,
there. Big
nice. Just a regular right guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Keep it in your pants.
Yeah.
and he's like, you doing a spot tonight? And I go, yeah, I'm at the improv at 9:30. Go, see you there. And I was like, okay.
And he showed up?
There. I got there at 9:28 and I hear like, there he is. And I look over, and people like fall all over themselves too. And by the way, neither of us did very well that night.
Yeah,
we just both kind of bombed. And he's like, "I go, we both just kind of ate it." He goes, "Doesn't matter, we're having fun."
Yeah. Well, so, he means it doesn't matter because he has $750 million
at least.
When he says that, do you like, oh, okay, maybe I should change around my set, or you just go with what you have going?
No, I mean, oh, you know what? That's a good question. Actually, I was like, should I try to be like clean? Because I was bringing him on at one of the shows, and I was like, I don't. That's let me just do my act.
Yeah,
it's not like he doesn't. And then when I got off, he's like, that porn bit. Fantastic. Yeah. It's not like he lives a squeaky clean life. He just doesn't like cursing or talking about sex on stage. But it's not like off stage. He's like, would you mind not cursing around me? Like, he curses. He had a funny bit. Like, we had a funny. He actually pitched a dirty bit to me that I won't say. But he's like, you could use this, and it was like about penthouse letters.
Oh.
But I don't have. I don't. There. We didn't. It's not ready. Not right.
But why does Why did he start? Was there a reason why he started, or he just likes to be? He's always been wanted to be clean, or
I think he just thought it was a. It's a, you know, in a weird way, being clean is better for business. Meaning
like endorsements or getting sitcoms
endorsements,
or
but it's also you can bring everyone to. My buddy Sebastian Maniscalco, who you may not have even heard of, is about to sell at his fourth Madison Square Garden date in January. He's selling four shows at Madison Square Garden over two nights. You maybe never heard of him, but the thing about him is you can bring your mom.
Anybody can go
to
it.
You can bring your niece. Yeah. You can bring your office. You can bring everyone, and there's nothing discomforting or kind of like, about it. And he's really funny. That's the other thing. Like, he's really funny, but being clean is better for business. I think Jerry just saw it as a higher level of difficulty. And it is technically harder, but having said that, Carlin and Pryor and Dave and Chris are still the top, arguably the top four of the top seven. One of the tops was Bill Cosby. Turns out he was filthy.
He's being sentenced.
Dirtiest
today.
Comedian of all time.
Yeah. They sentenced.
Yes, they're sentencing him. Yeah. Clean comedian sentenced he's on the monitor right now.
Oh, he's watching.
Oh man, there he is. The picture of cleanliness.
Isn't it great when he stumbles into court like he's on his deathbed?
I like when he yells out, "Hey, hey, hey!" Yeah. That was tasteful, huh?
The reporters.
I'm surprised. Eddie Murphy had a bit about that Cosby had called him and said, "You know, you're swearing too much in your act."
Yeah, which is like, okay. And by the way, I've since heard Eddie wasn't the only guy he called. He called somebody else that you wouldn't believe he called. That I'm not going to say on the air.
Carrot Top? Was it Carrot Top?
No, you like literally wouldn't, because the guy wasn't dirty at all. I can't believe I'm doing that. I'm not going to say him because I don't know if it's public knowledge. It's not public knowledge.
But he called up
Eddie made the observation. That's just mean. He's like, I was 22. Eddie goes, I watch TV all the time. There's guys that I see that are like, I don't think they're good, or I think they're too dirty, or whatever. You think I'm gonna call them and go like, "Hey, you're bad. Goodbye." Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like petty. And again, he. I think Cosby held himself up as like an arbiter of morality and taste. Anytime someone pretends to be an arbiter of morality,
there's weird. Yeah.
There's
going
no
on.
Reason
you know that
to do it. Like I tell my friends. Morally, we all run such a slim profit margin that in order to go start pontificating to other people, it's like you're hiding something.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, there's a thing called the Catholic Church.
Yes.
It's going to blow your mind what the stuff, some of the stuff they've been doing over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greatest sex clubs in the history of. We have advertisers.
No, you said
you were going to work clean.
No, we can say anything you want. You say anything you want on the show. Yeah, I agree with you. A texter wants to know what it was like, they're asking what it was like to write with Chappelle, but you were, what were you, the co-creator?
It was great. I like when people tell me about Dave, because we've been like best friends since we were 17. So people go like, you know, he's a genius. And I go, tell me more about my cellmate. Tell me more what this guy I've spent literally more time with than anyone else on earth is like. Is he funny? Is he a genius?
So how'd you end up meeting him? Were you guys both doing comedy?
We were both
then?
17. He had moved to New York to do stand-up, and I moved there to go to film school. And he started doing stand-up when he was 14. He was good when he was 17. I mean,
started when he was 14, Dave Chappelle?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And was good. Like, Patton Oswalt did his first open mic they started the same day. And he goes, no one is good the first time they've ever done comedy except Dave Chappelle. So we've just been friends since then. And we wrote that movie Half Baked together. And then we wrote the show together. When he did Saturday Night Live, I wrote that sketch for that him and Chris Rock the night where they're watching the election. me and Colin Jost wrote it. And So what's it like? I mean, I don't know. It's stressful because you're under the gun, and it's funny because he's funny. Yeah, it's just fun to like. We would like type, turn the computer to him, type. He turns it to me, and it would be like, oh, this is a. And then he turns to me and go, oh, that's funny. It was like a nice surprise. Like, oh, what a nice present you've gotten me. A joke that I don't have to write.
And he's doing good.
Yeah. I talked to him yesterday. He's doing good.
Yeah.
He was in LA. He just did a big show. We went to a boxing match on last week. We went to the Triple G Canelo fight in Vegas. That was really fun. Because I had maybe the best seats I've ever had for a sporting event. I had the... So it was celebrities, then the press, and I was sitting in front of the press.
Wow.
So I was in like the I had better seats than Dave, LeBron, and Will Smith.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Bums, as I call them.
That's pretty good.
Losers and bums. it was just, I had like the rate, like I almost got hit with sweat from a punch. Fantastic.
Pretty good seats.
Yeah. Pretty good.
I think people like some people look at Chappelle and they say, wow, he left at the height of, he could have made so much money. But I kind of admired that when he did that.
Yeah. They'd seem, I mean, look,
it seemed
I
weird to people,
but you know,
no, you didn't. But
I have my
own
reasons.
The show was over. Yeah.
It's admirable seeming and it is what you realize is like, you don't need that much money in life. You know what I mean? Like people, I always wonder, like, people work too hard. It actually goes back to something that Dave said to me, like in 2004, not long before he left. But that my mother sent me, I'm Irish Catholic. My mother sent me, I'm one of 10 kids. And my mother, you know how your mom will send you like a pillow with an engraving on it. You know how moms are. And it was like an Irish prayer. And it was like, but it was like, may the Lord, and then at the end it was, and may the Lord give you work for your hands. And Dave goes, man, white people are obsessed with work. Like, we love work. Like, there's nobility in it, me lad, and all that stuff. And it's like, there's also it's just, oh, people are surprised that like we get all these pro work messages. Remember, by the way, every rock song in the 80s was about work. Like, we're working for the week. Why are you singing about that? That sucks.
We have to work until the weekend.
Constant work. So, I'd rather have fun than work. We get all these pro work messages, and it's like, yeah, because the government gets 40% of the profits. Yeah, why do you think they want us to work so much? They're getting this. Yeah. They're on the skim.
Yeah,
their skim is sweet. Of course, they're going to encourage us to work.
Yeah.
So
there's a story today that says men overwhelmingly, you know, one of these surveys would prefer to stay home and do household chores to the work job that they have to go to every day.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I think, you know, the common...
but manly chores, like building things, tearing down drywall.
Not the laundry,
not the soft ladies.
I dust. Sure.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'll dust, sure. My wife goes out and makes $1 million.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. Give me my dust. You'll wear an apron for those prices.
Toss me the pledge.
That's interesting. That's an interesting thing, because I would have thought the guys wanted, like... to go to. I always say guys like going to work at a job. It's because it's the only time we actually know what we're doing. Because at home in relationships, totally lost.
Yeah.
It's like learning a new dance. We're like, hey, now I go to the right. But it's just constantly. I'm single right now, and it's great because no one's mad at me.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Nobody's mad at me right now. It's an outstanding.
I also think for a guy, when you have a baby, you really like to go to work because you can get away. It's your only, you can get away from it.
Bye.
And you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Hold, do you want to? We have this guy Scott from Weymouth who calls the show. He's like the most hated caller in radio. Do you want to talk to Scott? What's he want to know? I don't know.
Is Scott, he going to say something mean?
I don't think he's going to say anything mean. Scott, we're smart. What's up?
Hey, I'm single too, but I still have people mad at me. So you're doing better than me.
What did you want to say to Neil Brennan?
Yeah, real quick. Back on Seinfeld, real quick. I saw a show, and he talked about his first joke he ever said on stage. I'm going to paraphrase it real quick. This certainly is not verbatim, but yeah. It goes like this. Yeah, so I hear in New York City they're putting in a tram system now. So it's going to be like, you know, you'll be on a roller coaster as you go through the city. The only difference being on this roller coaster, the people will be screaming the loudest on the flat parts. Going through
you screwed the joke up.
I'm not a comedian, man. I did my best, but that was his first joke.
Oh, you're not a comedian, Scott? Oh, okay, all right.
In the 70s he did that joke. And they had a tram going to Roosevelt Island, and they'll be screaming. The flat parts is they'll be screaming when they go through Harlem.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so it was racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
which again, for a Boston caller, that seems impossible to have left out. from what I know about Boston, must have been your favorite part. My show's canceled. By the way, I'm doing a show on Thursday. I don't know.
We got to mention that. Actually, we'll.
I'm not just
that
here for my health, guys.
You didn't come in just to talk to us.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Neil has a show at Royale on Thursday night, 8:00.
Go to neilbrennan.com or just search me. Go to neilbrennan.com because sometimes some of these sites charge like a lot of money.
Oh, they do?
Just go through my website, okay. neilbrennan.com.
So go to neilbrennan.com Thursday night, 8:00, Royale.
Yeah.
What are you going to do until Thursday?
Oh, I'm going to New York.
All right.
I'm going to New York. Yeah, I'm just going to hang out. I'm doing the Daily Show tomorrow.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So. Good. Not much to talk about with Kavanaugh or anything.
No.
Like that,
so. No. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh yelled "Hey, hey, hey" on the way into one.
Oh, he did.
That's a weird one, huh?
He was in one of those Yale clubs. Which I don't think on the public airways we can say what they call it.
Yeah, the nickname was extremely. Yeah. It had body parts involved.
When George Bush Sr. was going there, I think he was in Skull and Crossbones.
Skull and Bones. Yeah, yeah.
Was the TNC Club. The club that he was in.
Trying collect
nicknames for female anatomy is what that
the C
for. The C. Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll give you pee. I'm not crazy about pee either.
No, it wasn't that C. It was the one that most men can't have no idea where it is and don't care.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah. That was very clever. That was the name of their club. That was the 80s.
I mean,
I was
having a good time.
It was the 80s.
They were
working.
Crazy kids. They were working. Yeah, they're working. Everybody's working for the... every music video was people in steel mills.
Men at work. Yeah, men at work.
Ugh.
What was it about the 80s that everybody
wanted it was Thatcherism and Reaganism. Just like we've unleashed capitalism and we've gotten rid of reform and restrictions. And we lowered taxes. I don't know.
I never thought about that, but that is a theme in 80s pop music.
Huge.
Is
huge.
Working.
The Dire Straits thing, they were working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody was working.
All right. Well,
all listen, right. If nothing else, even if you don't come to my show, just remember the 80s were about work.
Yeah. Blow off work. Go see Neil.
Yeah. All right, Neil, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, my pleasure.
We got to get out of here. We got to go. But we'll be back tomorrow at 6. Highlights of today's show, if there were any, are available as a part of the full show podcast.
I gotta think I was part of the highlights.
I think that's all.
I don't know what else you guys.
That's all we're gonna do.
That's pretty much it.
Basically, put you on. That's it. Mm-hmm. Podcast download at waaf.com anytime, and the WAAF Workday Blitz is coming up next. So get working.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.